BMF Effects. BMFFX.com.
Built by hand in Southern California. Overdrive, fuzz, wah, boosts, chorus, compressor, and vibe pedals with a purpose. Purchase online at BMFFX.com or BMFFX official shop on Reverb. Enhance your tone and playing experience today with BMF Effects, BMFFX.com. Great tone, made simple.
Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
All right, folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Our next guest is the guitarist for a band that that's their records are the perfect blend of new meets classic. And they're like one of the only bands that I've ever heard been able to pull this off in a way that's classy and sounds really great. And as I was telling somebody the other day, their new record, Feel This, is a record that I consider furniture-breaking music. If I want to break furniture when I hear this type of music, then I know it's really good.
I love that. That's a great description.
That's my my benchmark. Folks, please welcome to Guitar Radio Show from Crobot, Bishop. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Thank you very much. I've been shopping for furniture all week, so yeah, man, it's expensive in Austin. Jesus
yeah,
Christ!
Man.
Oh my
yeah.
God!
Have you tried couch potato?
Don't break my furniture.
Have you tried couch potato?
We actually had a couch custom built from there.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I've got some stuff from them as well.
Yeah, I mean that's like affordable on the higher end of affordable, but it was. We love it. We love that couch we made.
Yeah, man. I like the stuff over there. I've never spoken about furniture on the show before. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's great.
So tell me about this record, man. I freaking love it. I think it's really your best record so far. I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think a lot of it, you know, we really figured out what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. The first few records, we were just trying to, you know, I think the first two records, we really tried to make it sound old and vintage, you know, because all of our influences are classic bands. Mm-hmm. This record, we made it sound, we wanted big guitars for the first time. We're like, yeah, let's make it. It's like a wall of guitars. Mm-hmm. And the drums are huge sounding drums, but they're not like mixed in a modern way. Mm-hmm. I say modern way where it's like kick and snare is all you're hearing, mm-hmm. which was like, that was sort of like the way Mother Brain was mixed because it was more of a modern sounding record. But this one I think is the best of all worlds.
I couldn't agree more. It's like I said, it's such a great blend that you guys, but you've always had that kind of a blend of new and vintage colliding and kind of making your own sound, and which is great because you know, it's sort of like, I remember what David Lee Roth said years ago when everybody was trying to, you know, when Van Halen hit and everybody was trying to be the next Van Halen, he said, you know, it's incestuous. Everybody starts to sound the same, they all start to look the same. He goes, and what happens with incest is you end up with retarded kids. You know,
so good. Very true. Yeah.
You know, and you guys have honestly, I don't know if it was a conscious effort on your part to steer away from that, but you don't sound like the other bands in your category, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I think Crobot. It's always towed a line of stoner rock fans and like, you know, blues based riffy rock, mm-hmm. and then like mainstream sort of Miles Kennedy, you know, radio-esque sort of rock and roll. And you know, it's just like this weird blend of, you know, what we grew up with, you know, and because me and the singer, we grew up, you know, we're both, you know, in our 30s, so we went through the early 2000s new metal phase. Right. You know, we went through loving Fear Factory and Machine Head and mm-hmm. Mudvayne, you know, all those bands. Mm-hmm. But in the same time, we loved, Led Zeppelin, you know, Jimi Hendrix, you know, all the classic huge bands, but like Leafhound and Catfish and like all these old blues guys that, you know, and like Clutch being our favorite band of all time, mm-hmm. you know, we always circle back to making sure it's a heavy groove mm-hmm. and making sure that the riffs are simple and, you know, for the most part, blues based. That's what yeah. What we go back, you know, always fall on.
Yeah, and that's probably what catches my ear the most is that blues based thing, because yeah, you know, it's like the perfect blend of, you know, Anthrax and BLS and Zeppelin.
Right. You know, absolutely.
And AC/DC. And you know mm-hmm. that kind of a thing, and it's great because you guys could definitely, you know, and I know you've done shows with Anthrax, and I know you've done shows with BLS and people like that, and Clutch, mm-hmm. but you could absolutely do shows with AC/DC. You could absolutely yeah. do shows with Guns N' Roses. Matter of fact, I think you'd wipe the floor with GNR, but. That's just my opinion. Maybe not the GNR of 1989, but certainly the GNR
right
now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good, and the record is well balanced too, because you know, you've got those songs that, okay, I'm gonna break some furniture here, I'm gonna break this chair, and I've also got songs that are like, oh wow, that if radio had a clue, this would be on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, the way it works in our situation is we have an A&R guy at a label who's basically a rock radio label, and he says, listen, guys, I don't care what you do on your record. I just want three songs that I can do something with. Mm-hmm. And so out of the 50 that we write, we know that, like, oh, okay, well, these could be like radio-y songs. Like for us on this record, those songs were Set You Free, Golden, and then there was a couple others that he loved, Without Wings, Electrified, but you know, Gold, that, you know, helps us with in the mainstream, and that's our tribute to Chris Cornell, you know. So
yeah,
how could you be mad at that, you know?
Totally.
Or Soundgarden is one of the best radio rock bands of all time, and bands in general. So you know, I think that'll do well for us.
Totally. I you know, it's crazy. Did you get to see Soundgarden when they were on?
No, we were playing a festival with him the week that he passed away.
Oh,
and
God.
never got to see Soundgarden. We were devastated.
His vocals were just incredible. I mean, I saw them in a club opening for Faith No More.
Oh,
they were opening for Faith No More, and Faith No More was really was happening at that moment, you know, and they were still coming up.
Yeah,
and it was just. It was otherworldly. I remember leaving there going, that's going to be one of the hugest bands ever.
Yeah, I mean, from Soundgarden to Audioslave to Euphoria Morning and his solo stuff, I mean, it's all, me and Brandon love all of it. I mean, how can you not? And most every musician I know feels the same way.
Yeah. What's the writing process between you and Brandon? What's that like?
You know, I usually write all the music, and he is either with me or I send it to him, and he will put down his first take on it and restructure it if needed. And yeah, then we circle back and we flush out harmonies, we flush out melody ideas. Sometimes we rework choruses. That's the most efficient way that we've always written, but there's always like, okay, the guys are going to be in town, we're going to spend a week and we're going to rehearse, and in those instances, 3, 4, 5 songs are written. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how Without Wings, Living on the Streets, you know, songs like that came to be, like, you know, the week before we went into the studio, those songs were written as jams with the band, and they came out to be some of our strongest ones. So mm-hmm. you just never know. We're always writing and creating.
Yeah. Do you find that the band, do you come with a hard arrangement, or does the band help with arrangements as a whole?
If it's an organic thing, in the room, I mean, I usually will have like a three part, jam that mm-hmm. I will sort of structure and work out as I'm jamming with the band. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm the only guitar player, it's basically me and Tim. And then and Dan helps a lot with, you know, everyone has great ideas cause we're all on the same page.
Right.
But, it usually starts with like a 3-riff jam that turns into like verse, pre-chorus, chorus. And then we jam that in loops, and then we like figure out a bridge to throw in there or whatever, figure out where we're going for a bridge. The whole time Brandon's either, you know, singing nonsense over top of it, mm-hmm. or he's just sitting there listening, thinking of ideas, writing down lyrics.
Right, right. And then later on, so as far as like solos and stuff like that, is that something that's worked out later in the studio, or you got that before you even walk in the door?
No, I mean, for the most part, you know, those, especially on the songs that are written in jam situations,
yeah.
The solos always come immediately, and they're always like the first few times we jam through it, like that's the vibe and the solo I go with. And mainly because I'm not thinking about it. I'm not like trying to be like, what's this going to be? I'm not trying to overplay. It always comes out with the most feel. And, you know, to this day, I mean, most of those solos are the ones that happened in the room or close to it.
I like that a lot. I mean, so it's what's happening in the moment. And so, but how do you remember? Do you record? Are you recording it?
We record.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's
yeah.
Cool.
We record almost all of our jams, and if we aren't recording, the minute something gets good, someone puts down a phone and records it.
That's so smart, because I mean, how many times have we been, you know, you sit down with a guitar and you got an idea and you go, oh, that's really good, and then literally while you're going to grab the phone or whatever,
you forget
yeah, the damn
forget
thing.
It. That's very true, and it's happened so many times. And you'll end up coming up with something close, but it's not going to be what like that magical moment was. That'll pass you by.
Yeah.
So you really just, and I do the same thing when I'm recording at home by myself. Like I'll have like a drum loop on, and I'm jamming, trying to flesh out ideas or just like have fun. I will record for 5 to 10 minutes in Logic, and I will listen back and be like, oh, that, I remember when I did that thing. That was awesome. Right. And I'll always make sure it's documented, because I've done that way too many times.
Well, that's cool. So here's a question, you know, since we're a guitar-based show, as far as gear, when you are writing, is it the same gear that you're recording with? I mean, is it like you've got your main guitar that's always with you for your creation process and also the recording and live gig? Or is it?
It varies. I have a 2007 FSR Fender custom reissue, and that's my main guitar. It's like an orange, transparent orange 72. It's like a, you know, the big pick guard. It's got a P90 in it. I've played it on every record, recorded almost every record's got it on it, but almost every song as well.
Yeah.
It sounds superior. It's just it holds tune, you know, all the little things. So that one's, you know, a lot of times I have so many guitars. I go through phases of when I'm recording, I'll play fun, different things and just see, but I, always when I'm recording at home, I'm using my Kemper. And when I'm recording, you know, the record, we record with big, you know, ridiculous amps, and we use a lot of different things. But, you know, this last record was, we used an Orange Rock Reverb MK3 for the all the choruses. It was doubled with that. And the main tone was a Friedman Runt, like 50 amp, and a 5150, like first generation. And those two amps ran through two cabs, and each amp was mic'd with two very different mics, and all four of those mics were blended into one tone. So one take on one side is eight guitar microphones, and then that was left and right. And on top of that, when we went to choruses and so what, that's when we added in the rock reverb, which also had two mics on it, right, two different mics that was blended. So it was a wall of three really awesome amps that we stuck with for the sound of this record.
That's cool. What a great idea. Just to put all that, all those different tones together and make them into one gigantic wall.
Yeah, and that's like Jay Rustin. He was the producer on this record, and he did, you know, he's an old school rock guy. That's how he gets that Anthrax tone. You know, all these gigantic records that he has done. I mean, he's a guitar, he's known for his big guitars and big drums.
Yeah, it's such a killer sounding record. I can't get enough of it. It's one of those records that's been on repeat for me. I've been streaming the shit out of it.
Killer.
It's really, really good. I actually sent it to a friend of mine. I sent the link to my friend of mine. I go, have you heard this? And he goes, no, I haven't heard this one yet. And he wrote back after he listened to it, because I've been listening. He was driving in a truck, and he says, I've been listening to it in the truck. It's the best driving music.
No, that's great. Yeah, man. We've always said we're a windows down driving type of band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you are. You guys are, you're not on the road right now, right? Are you on the road?
No, we just came off the road. We were out with Danzig and Cradle of Filth, and then we did some Shaman's Harvest dates. And yeah, you know, it's like a 2-month excursion, and we're home for a little bit, and then we go back out in probably like a month and a half.
Yeah, I see August, you got Psycho Fest in Vegas.
Yeah, we're gonna route around that, so we just have to figure out what we're doing. Right. You know, what tours we're gonna take. We have a couple options there, and we just have to pick the right one.
That's
see
cool.
What's gonna work out the best.
And then in December you're heading over to Europe.
Yeah, with Airborne, which is mini AC/DC. Yeah. Airborne and Blues Pills. It's going to be awesome. That's going to be a great tour.
That sounds really good. And you know, I could definitely, I see the dates here. It's Munich, Berlin, Stuttgart, Cologne, Hamburg, and then Brussels, and then eventually Manchester and London. Yeah. All places I have visited in my life, and they love their rock.
Yes, we have done tours over there throughout the years with bigger bands, and that's one thing that we've noticed is they love American rock and roll.
Yeah, man.
And we're excited to go back and play, man. You know, we're going to do some headline shows in Spain, and I'm not super sure, but just playing Spain in general. They love Crobot there, so we're excited.
That's cool. So one more gear question before I let you go. What are you using on the floor? Any pedals?
Oh yeah. So all the crazy oscillation you'll hear, like in, you know, in almost every Crobot song, between parts, there's like a delay oscillator that I use, and it's a Vox Time Machine that I've just sort of like modded to be able to do to do that, to take off as soon as you turn it on. Mm-hmm. And you can like manipulate it on the fly. That's a Joe Satriani Vox Time Machine pedal. Mm-hmm. I use that coupled with an Ibanez Echo Shifter, which is one of the old school like tape delays. It's got a fader on it that you can control with your foot, and it like makes things ethereal and atmospheric and big warps. I use that a lot, and I mean those have been on every Kurobot record on my board for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then that was a micropog for the big riff stuff. Digitech Whammy or Ricochet, does it for the same effect. Sometimes I'll use like the Boss harmonizer pedal. Mm-hmm. for that effect as well. And then for my wah, it's always a Bad Horsey. Spring loaded. I've left a crybaby on too many times in my life, so I love a good Bad Horsey Morley wah. Right. And yeah, and I'll always have different fuzzes or overdrives that I'm messing around with and playing with for just very distinct part, like just interesting leads or whatever. But those are always changing, but everything else is always on my board.
Yeah, that Morley wah is really very expressive. It's got such a vocal quality to it. Have you ever tried the Vox Satriani wah, the Big Bad wah?
No, I haven't.
It's got a 10. I don't think it's spring loaded. No, it's got a 10 dB boost in it too, and it's got, you know, it's got multiple voicing. It's killer. But yeah, no, I understand where you're at as far as the spring loaded. You need it to come back.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, with wahs, when I record, I always use a fancier wah. I'll either get a crybaby that's like a higher end crybaby,
right?
Or something else, because to me the Bad Horsey that I have, I know there's a million of them now, but the one that I have just doesn't sound really well. But the way I use it live, I need it to cut. I need it to be sort of shrill. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of times I just use it for string noise, and I go toe down on it and hit all my strings at once just for an effect. You
right.
know? And so, but for live, yeah, I'm always looking for that like perfectly voiced wah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we came in on the episode, we came in with the track Electrified. We're going to go out. What song would you like to hear on the way out?
Let's, I'll hit him with another song that I think will be the next single. It's Golden. That song is our tribute to Chris Cornell, like I was saying, and it's near and dear to our hearts. So yeah, hope you guys enjoy it.
What's that called?
Golden.
Golden. All right, we're gonna go out with that. Hey, welcome back home to Austin.
Thanks, man. I love it here.
Yeah, me too. And yeah. Oh, you know what? I always ask Austinites this: favorite breakfast taco.
Favorite breakfast taco is. Let's see. I love, and I say this just because it's convenient for me, but Las Casuelas on East Cesar Chavez. I work at Dovetail Tattoo, so when I go in early, I always grab breakfast tacos there. They're cheap, quick. They have them laid out, and they're phenomenal. So
cool.
Las Casuelas.
There you go, folks. When in Austin.
Nice. Right?
Folks.
But there's this place called Brisket's.
Oh,
have
yeah.
you been there?
No, Brisket's. I have not. Where is that?
It's down south. It's like a food truck.
Okay.
I forget exactly where, but it's brisket on a giant biscuit, and it's got this smoked strawberry jelly.
Oh,
it's probably
geez.
The best thing I've ever had.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Brisket's. You gotta try it.
All right. Cool. I'm a big fan of on 45th and Burnett in Rosedale. is La Cocina de Consuelo, and they got this little old lady who's making the tortillas in there, and it's just incredible. Just like, they're just, you eat one and you're just, you don't want to eat anything for the rest of the day. You're just so full. So good.
Me and the wife will hit it up.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. I know you got a busy day ahead of you. Good luck on the, with the record, and good luck with the rest of the tour. Folks, the record's called Feel This. Don't just stream it. Go and buy it, too. This way, he can make more of this. That's what we
That's
want.
That's right.
Thank you, sir. You have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, okay, bro.
Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, GuitarRadioShow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, if you like the artists you hear on Guitar Radio Show, don't just stream their music, buy it.
GRS Productions. brands. Unchainedbrands.com. Rock and roll accessories that give back. Handcrafted pendants, chains, necklaces, earrings, and wearables that symbolize the union of the music community. Unchained Brands is proud to provide a portion of their proceeds to benefit Music Cares, a nonprofit organization that provides a safety net of critical assistance, education, pathways to recovery, and support for all music people in times of need. Together, we will lead the journey to inspire through our products and our community. Come join us. Find Unchained Brands on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and at unchainedbrands.com.
Guitar players are always searching for the tone that will define their playing identity. Geppetto Pickups' wide spectrum of tones and sonic colors inspire and instill a newfound confidence in the player that comes from having amazing tone. Single coils, humbuckers, and bass pickups wound and constructed by hand to a level of perfection that will finally satisfy that search for tone and enhance your playing. Go to GeppettoGuitars.com. We'll give your guitar its voice, but you'll make it sing.